And Fast Track is presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, John, one side of the coin, ninth inning, Dodgers have a one-run lead. One side of the coin, you go to Kenley Jansen. Other side of the coin, you go to Blake Treinen. Called in the air.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'd go to Kenley.
Hey, John, let's go to Kenley.
Kenley!
All right, I will defer, Mace. No advantage comes with that.
Okay, brand new process. A New York City startup is leaving a mark by offering ephemeral tattoos. So, in other words, you get a tattoo, and it will slowly disappear, fade, and ultimately disappear over a period of time.
Okay.
It will disappear between 9 and 15 months after you get the tattoo. John, given that you could get a tattoo, it would last 15 months, and then it would be gone, would you try getting a tattoo?
No.
Even though it's going to go away?
Yeah, I have no desire to get it.
Oh, come on.
I have no desire to put myself through that. I think tattoos are for people that are, people that get, like, full-sleeve tattoos are a little look at me.
At least No, they're not. They're expressing themselves.
At least your tattoos are somewhat hidden.
Yes.
You know, like, they're personal.
They are personal, yeah.
But, no, I have no desire to get a tattoo.
Makes me want to go get tattoos. Well, I'd be interested to see if a full sleeve worked on me. If it was gone in 15 months, I'd be interested.
Yeah, not for me, but I have nothing against anybody else who does them. I think that, by the way, new Laker Ben McLemore has replaced Kyle Kuzma for most tattoos on the team. He is full sleeve and then some.
Yeah.
Take a look at McLemore. And by the way, he should play more. He makes a lot of threes.
Yeah, what he made? Scored 20 points the other night, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
More McLemore, please.
Lindsay, how would I look with a full sleeve?
I mean, if that's what you like, I think it would look great.
I like how everybody's here. There's that's what you want to do, it's all you be it's you.
I like sleeves. I think they look cool.
All right, Mace. Cool. The NFL draft is Thursday.
Yes.
And every year somebody has some off the field issue that makes teams debate whether or not to draft him. Nick Saban, the Alabama head coach, worked in the NFL for 8 years. He says players can control this in advance. This is interesting. Listen to Saban describe what he tells players who think they are going to get drafted. This runs just under a minute.
And I tell our players all the time, the two most compelling words in the draft report is and but. All right, so they read the player, and I'll take a defensive back. All right, he's got quick feet, change of direction, good long speed, can play man-to-man. He's a good tackler. He's got toughness. Got really good ball judgment and really good ball skills. And he's a good person. He was a leader on the team. He graduated from school. Coaches loved him. Read the same player. But he had a positive drug test. Right? He had a domestic violence incident with his girlfriend. He got in a fight in a bar when he was a freshman. Strength coach said he wouldn't piss on him if he was on fire. Who do you want on your team? And or but?
Okay, so here's my question.
Yes.
If you were a GM, would any of those things that Saban described, failed drug test, domestic violent incident, got in a fight in a bar, bad in the weight room, would any of those things keep you from drafting a player with elite talent? Now, keep in mind, some of the things he described, Randy Moss fits some of those descriptions, Warren Sapp fits some of those descriptions.
But you can also name players that didn't work that fit those descriptions.
Right, so that's my question for you. Would that scare you away?
So it's strength coach, wouldn't piss on him.
Here they are. Failed drug test.
Yep.
That's Warren Sapp. Domestic violence incident. Got in a fight in a bar. Bad in the weight room. Any of those four things keep you from drafting an elite player, a Randy Moss caliber player?
Yes, domestic violence.
Me too. That's the one that stood out.
I couldn't deal with that. The rest of it, I think, can be corrected. But once you've, if you've committed domestic violence, I'm sorry. You're done with me.
Well,
to me,
it indicates mental illness.
Yes,
if you're willing to do that.
Well, and it also represents, hey, this is a guy with temper control problems, emotional impulse problems. He's done damage to somebody. He's hurt somebody. you know, we can't afford to have a guy who's going to be suspended over something like this down the road. So I think
that's
the one thing.
How about failed drug tests? Would that scare you off?
Nope, not at all.
Got in a fight in a bar. Would that scare you off?
No, I mean, we all had our fights in bars.
Charles Barkley had several of them.
Yeah.
Bad in the weight room. Would that scare you off?
You know, you get the right weight training guy, strength coach. I think they'll kick his ass and get him into gear.
Well, not only that, what if you're drafting a speed guy? What if you're drafting Devontae Smith?
Sure.
I don't care if he can lift weights. I want him to just run.
Exactly.
Yeah, so three out of those four I would put up with. I landed on the same island as you. The domestic violence would scare me off. The other three, bring it on. It's to you.
In agreement. All right, so I was having this debate with my brother Brian, who lives down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and we were talking about Shaquille O'Neal. He's a big Shaquille O'Neal fan. And he said that Shaq would not be a dominant player today because he didn't shoot threes, and even the big shoot threes. And I said, if Shaq had come along today, he would shoot threes. He would know how to do it. He would be able to do it. He would still be most dominant ever down low, but he would add that three-point shot to his repertoire. Who do you agree with?
You. By the way, okay, so if I was in that discussion with you and Brian, I'd say to Brian, so Kareem Abdul-Jabbar would be worthless today?
Right.
He'd be no good? He didn't shoot threes. Karl Malone didn't shoot threes. Tim Duncan didn't shoot threes.
But you agree that they would learn to shoot threes today?
Right. Well, Tim Duncan might not need to. Shaq might not need to. Kareem had a skyhook.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're that dominant, and Shaq was maybe the most dominant player ever, of course you would be a weapon. Not everybody shoots threes. Andre Drummond doesn't shoot threes.
But do you think Shaq would develop a three-point shot if he came along?
Probably.
Today? Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
just
I
so he had, I mean, Joel Embiid did. But, I mean, Andre Drummond hasn't. Anthony Davis has. So it depends, you know, who you're talking about.
Giannis is trying.
Jokic has one,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the bigs tend to shoot threes now.
It's a great weapon.
Yeah.
But I'm more. You were right in that argument.
All right, cool. It's to you. But I love being right in arguments. It's my favorite thing.
Tell Brian I said he's wrong.
Yeah.
Stan Kroenke, the Rams owner, is one of the richest guys we know.
Yes.
He's a billionaire.
We don't know him. He's silent.
Yeah. He's a billionaire who is married to a billionaire, a Walmart heiress.
Yes.
He's living my dream, Mace, as you know. Besides owning the Rams and the Denver Nuggets, Stan owns Arsenal, one of the top teams in the English Premier League. Arsenal fans are so mad at Stan for being part of that Super League stunt last week that they want him out. They are protesting at their own home games by the thousands.
Wow.
I'm not sure how cleanly you'll be able to hear this, but here's some fans in a protest. Just picture like thousands of people walking in the street chanting this.
We want Kroenke out. Say we want Kroenke out. We want Kroenke out. Say we want Kroenke out.
So they're all chaining,
we want Kroenke out.
Those are fans of his own team.
Yeah.
Now, here's my question. If you're Stan Kroenke, what's the best way to deal with this? The way I see it, he has three choices, but you can come up with your own. I see it, it's either A, do absolutely nothing. Just let the fans punch themselves out. B, meet with the fans and convince them you're committed to the team and you'll continue to spend to win. Or C, do a sit-down interview with whoever Oprah is in England and get his side of the story out. Would you do any of those things or something different?
I have a feeling he's going to do nothing.
I do too. Which, by the way, might be the strategic play.
It might be. I think I would try the interview, and it probably wouldn't be with Oprah. It'd be with the European soccer guys, right?
Well, yeah, whoever Oprah is in England.
But he's not the only one that did this. I mean, Manchester United did it, Barcelona did it. They all did it. So why is Stan getting the grief when everybody out there were how many teams in the Super League?
12.
12. So 12 different owners agreed to this.
I think
why
the other
is
owners
Stan
are catching heat.
Crap?
Well, I think the other owners are catching heat, but Arsenal has one of the oldest, most loyal fan bases. And they've just organized better than the other ones. I think Arsenal's the first to do it. Other teams will do it. My guess is he'll do nothing. I mean, have you ever seen Stan do an interview?
Nope.
Have you ever seen
Silent Stan.
Have you ever seen Phil Anschutz do an interview?
Nope. Silent Phil.
Yeah. So I think that's probably the play. But I'm trying to remember, like, Dodger fans hated Frank McCourt.
Yes.
They never went that far. They were never walking down the street yelling, we want McCourt out. You know, they just yelled and made signs.
One of the differences is that the Dodgers were winning under Frank McCourt.
Until he sold them. Yeah, until he sold them.
Until he sold them, yeah, exactly.
They were in the toilet his last couple of years.
Yeah.
All right, it's to you.
It's to me. All right, John, the Pioneer League, which is a rookie league, is instituting a new plan this year, baseball plan. They have announced that it will implement a first-of-its-kind knockout rule that will resolve games tied after nine innings with a sudden-death home run derby. Under the rule, each team designates a hitter who receives five pitches, with the game determined by the most home runs hit. If still tied after the first knockout round, another hitter is selected for a sudden-death home run face-off until a winner is declared. John, what do you think of this as a way to resolve tie ball games going to extra innings in Major League Baseball?
So this was the Justin Turner idea.
Yes.
Justin Turner proposed this a couple of years ago. Mace, you know I'm all in favor of whatever gimmicks baseball wants to try. I'm not in favor. This is even too gimmicky for me. I think the putting the runner on second base is fine. And matter of fact, a lot of people are like shouting that down and saying, oh, dude, it's not tradition, it's not baseball. I like it a lot. The minute I see a game's in extra innings, I start paying attention to it. But I think a home run derby is a bridge too far. What do you think?
Totally agree. I think it's too gimmicky. I think it turns the entire outcome of a game under the shoulders of one guy, which I hate. And by the way, I'm a traditional baseball guy, but recognize the game needs to modernize. The game needs to appeal to new generations, all that stuff. I love the runner on second thing. I think that's a great way to resolve extras. That was so exciting last night when the Dodgers went to extra. Kenley gave up the home run, obviously. But two
games in a row, by the way.
Yeah, extra innings are really, really fun under this new system. So I would stick with it. Good for them for experimenting with it, but I don't think that's ever getting to the major leagues.
Right. All right, we got time for one more?
One more.
Okay. According to our friend Buster Olney,
The
Yankees briefly discussed trading Aaron Judge to the Angels this offseason.
Wow.
New York has a decision coming up on Judge. He's a free agent after 2023. Here's why it's a hard decision. In 2017, Aaron Judge hit 52 homers, drew 127 walks, and had an OPS over 1,000. In the 258 games since then, okay, so since 2017, so we're talking full season 2018, full season 2019, 60 games in 2020, two and a half years. Judge has total 67 homers and a 914 OPS. The main reason for that is that he hasn't stayed healthy.
Yeah,
Aaron Judge is 29 years old, so he'll be 31 when he's a free agent. Somebody's probably going to give him the Manny Machado contract, close to $300 million. If you ran the Yankees, would you trade Judge now, give him a new contract, or just wait?
Because I need that explosive offense this year if I want to salvage a season where we're struggling. I think I would keep Aaron Judge and ride it out. But it's fun to think of the Angels with Aaron Judge. You could go Trout, Rendon, Judge, and Otani.
Right, but how in the world could the Angels get him? I guess they just have to empty their farm system.
Yeah, they'd empty their farm
system.
Give
them Joe Adell and a bunch of other dudes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're looking for. That's what the Yankees are going to be looking for anyway. They're not looking for major league talent. They're looking for development talent. But I don't think the Yankees should trade Judge. I think they need him to have a really big year in order for this to be a solid Yankee season. So, I don't think they will trade him. I don't think they should trade him, and I think you worry about the contract when you get to the contract. I don't think he's a $300 million player.
Right, but don't you think somebody else will give it to him? Like, isn't that what Machado got?
Yeah.
And they're around the same age, they're around the same stats. It's like Manny had more years of it. But Bryce Harper and Manny both got north of $300 million.
I think Philly already regrets the Bryce Harper deal.
I don't think they're going to get Mookie Betts, Mike Trout money, but I think they could get Machado, Bryce Harper money. You think that's too high?
I think it'll be in the 200s. I think it'll be in the 200s.
A lot of money.
Somebody will bite, but I think the injury issue is huge for him. It is just huge. So But it's fun to think about him on the Angels.
Yeah,
that would be really
sure
fun.
Is.
Really fun. All right, coming up next for you, John. We'll circle back to the big story of the day, which is the Dodgers bullpen. Last night, Kenley Jansen gives up a two-run homer in the top of the 10th. What reliable arms do they have there? Plus, news on LeBron James. That's
really?
Coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, what's up? Dan Bridges emails John. Jake Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. He made so much money because he is famous and brought people to the fight. He is also part of the promotion, so he got part of that too. Boxers, real boxers, bust their ass for years to try and finally get a fight like that. Secondly, the fighters in the UFC are terribly underpaid. This is because there is somewhat of a monopoly. There are other leagues, but they make even less. They do need to get paid more, but Paul's argument is technically right. He also says that card UFC 261 was the best card he's ever seen.
Wow.
It was incredible. And Weidman didn't break his femur. He broke both his tibia and his fibula. Yikes. Yikes. All right. So ow. Speaking of yikes, last night, 10th inning, Dodgers, Corey Seager hit a two-run bomb in the 7th inning, put the Dodgers into a tie ball game with the Cincinnati Reds at Dodger Stadium. And they get to the top of the 10th, and who do we see but Kenley Jansen? Now, I will say right up front, I am not a fan of Kenley Jansen in a tie ball game. I'm a fan of Kenley Jansen in a save situation.
But right, but Dave Roberts has limited options. Who would you have brought in there?
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, they'd used Scott Alexander. They had used Mitchell White, who they just called up. They didn't use Victor Gonzalez, I don't think, last night. Jorge, did they use Victor Gonzalez?
They did not, no.
They did not.
He had pitched the night before.
And so I don't think they didn't use Blake Treinen either.
No.
He's another guy.
Okay, so you would have gone to Gonzalez or Treinen, but anyway, he goes to Jansen.
Yeah, yeah. Here is, by the way, Dave Roberts on Kenley Jansen's outing.
You know, I just got ahead, and then it was a pitch top of the zone. I think it was a two-seamer, and he put a good swing on it. So, yeah, I mean, I think Kenley's still in the baseball really well this year. I think he had that one hiccup in Oakland, but outside that, been very good. And obviously there was an inherited runner, the man on second base, and he gave up a home run, and that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I think thrives on that energy from the crowd, and they obviously don't have a big full stadium right now, but thrives on that energy and thrives on the opportunity to close a game. When you put him into a tie ball game, I think it's a different mental dynamic. The problem for the Dodgers is they've really only had a couple of effective relievers. Corey Knebel was one of them. He's out now for months with a strained lat. David Price, who, you know, there's a misconception. David Price was terrible out of the bullpen. He's on the IL. Mitchell White gave him a couple good innings last night. Scott Alexander has been very good. Victor Gonzalez, super reliable. Blake Treinen has been pretty good, 3 ERA. They're waiting for Joe Kelly to come back. But I can live right now without Jimmy Nelson, Dennis Santana, and even Brusdar Graterol, the bazooka, who doesn't seem right yet, has yet to get out of an inning unnicked.
All right, so who's pitching? Who's starting tonight for the Dodgers?
Walker Buehler.
All right, so Buehler goes 6 innings. That
yep.
seems to be about the average for these starters. Ideally, in a perfect world, how do you want to see 7, 8, 9 go?
I want to see Victor Gonzalez, Blake Treinen, Kenley Jansen.
But can you do that night after night? In other words, Jansen
no.
pitched last night. Does that make him available
yeah.
tonight?
As I remember, he threw 28 pitches, too. He may not be available tonight. If he's not, I think I want Victor Gonzalez in that role. You know, Victor Gonzalez has been great. He's got a 2.57 ERA. He's got 7 holds.
Yeah, he's left-handed.
That statistic.
So you might need a righty in that. Well, I'd have to look at his numbers against righties. What do you think of my idea that I brought up last hour? Now, David Price went on the 10-day injured list today.
Yes.
But when he comes back, how about you move David Price to the 5th starter role and move Julio Urias to the bullpen and have him as an option for 7 and 8?
It's an interesting idea. I'm curious, from Dodger fans, who do you want out there when it when it matters most. 877-710-ESPN. Would Kenley Jansen have been on the mound in the top of the 10th inning if you were Dave Roberts? You can call in 877-710-ESPN. You can tweet at Venice Mace at LA Ireland, or you can email venicemace@gmail.com. John, I promised I would do this last week, and I never got a chance to do it.
What is it?
Actually, no. You know, I promised breaking LeBron James news.
Yeah,
and
do
I've
that
got
first.
That for you right here. LeBron James, according to Woj, and John, you say Woj is super plugged in with this stuff.
Woj has a great relationship with Clutch, Rich Paul and Maverick Carter, LeBron's agency. So if he's reporting it, you can take it as gospel.
Okay, this is what Woj says. LeBron James could return as soon as this week. James has looked strong in his ramp-up workouts on the Lakers' current road trip. Add to that a tweet from LeBron that says, coming soon to a city near you. LeBron James could be back. He could be back real soon. So we could see him, even according to Woj, by the end of the week.
Okay, so here's the Lakers' schedule coming up. They play tomorrow night in Washington. I don't assume from that tweet that he's a candidate for that game, but who knows? You know, why tomorrow's part of this week. Friday, they play at home against Sacramento. Sunday, at home against Toronto. Monday, at home against Denver. And then later next week, Thursday against the Clippers at Portland on Friday. So those are the next five games. Washington, Sacramento, Toronto, Denver, Clippers, Portland. Right there.
And that's it.
And according to that tweet, we should see LeBron at some point. Now, they have 11 games left. So if he were to sit out tomorrow night and come back on Friday,
yep,
which is the last game of this week, using Woj's tweet verbatim,
yep,
that would give him 10 games to ramp up for the playoffs. What do you think?
I think that's right. I think that's about right. 10 games is a good number to sort of sort things out, to integrate what Andre Drummond does into the offense that we've seen the last couple of years with AD and with LeBron. I like that. 10 games left with LeBron, AD, that's a win to me. That is, if they round into form, if LeBron is healthy, if AD is healthy, they're championship favorites, and I think they'll win it.
All right, so here's something that's not really out there that – I was talking to somebody who's in James Harden's camp.
Oh, really? You know people in James Harden's
I
camp?
I do.
Oh, wow.
And they told me, and I don't think this has been really, like, magnified, Harden, not close at all.
Wow.
In other words, this guy thought, likely he misses playoff games. And I went, wait a minute.
Really?
Has Brooklyn said that? He goes, no, Brooklyn has just said we're back to square one. He said, I think round one, he's questionable.
Wow.
So it's just one opinion, but, you know, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal. It is a big deal. I mean, Harden, I don't think they get to the finals without all three of those guys. I think they need all
three
of those guys.
You think Philadelphia trips them up?
Yeah, Philadelphia, I think, trips him up. Durant's back. Durant looked great the other night.
Yeah, really good the other night.
But James Harden, wow, could questionable for the first round of the playoffs. That's,
by the way, have you seen that short film that Durant and Mike Conley were executive producers for?
And were nominated for an Oscar. I have not
they
seen
won.
It.
They won the Oscar.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. And so, but I haven't seen it.
No, I haven't seen it either. I didn't see the shorts this year. Is it a live action animated?
It's on, it's live action. It is
documentary.
It is on Netflix, so you can watch it on Netflix.
Okay,
but I haven't seen it. One of the EPs on that is a guy named Van Lathan who works for The Ringer. You were gone, but Van called in one day.
Yeah,
we were talking about movies on the air and was really helpful in a debate we were having. But I'm anxious to see that. I'll get more information on it, so I'm not just like talking into the wind. But
no, that's all we do is talking. We're wind talkers. I think that was actually a thing during World War II. Wind talkers. Yeah, it was a movie actually. Yeah, Kevin Durant and Mike Conley Jr. were executive producers on this project. It's called Two Distant Strangers, which won in the live action short category, and it starred Brooklyn rapper Joey Badass in the lead role.
Right, and apparently it follows a cartoonist who is killed by police while walking home after he had a sleepover on a date. After he's killed, he ends up back where he started that morning, only to relive the day's events again and again in a time loop.
Wow.
So it's, I don't know if it means.
So wait a minute. So the director got the Oscar. Do Kevin Durant and Mike Conley get Oscars?
I don't know if they actually get physical Oscars, but they mentioned both Durant and.
I would demand it. I would demand that Oscar. Well, of course, I would want
you're,
that Oscar.
You're you. But
we just had F. Murray Abraham on the podcast, who won the Oscar, you know, for Amadeus years back. And, you know, he still, you know, that night to him is just a blur. He talked about that night during the podcast. Just a blur. I cannot even imagine being somebody that wins an Oscar and goes up there to give a speech. It must be the most surreal thing in the world. But I will be ready for it when it happens for me, John.
So. And I think we've talked about this with everything, with the NBA Finals, with the World Series.
Yep.
The Oscars ratings were, last year was the lowest rated Oscars in history, 23 million viewers.
Yep.
This year was 8 million, like one-third of the worst ever. You tie that to the pandemic or something else?
What I tie to is that movie theaters were closed. And
right, so nobody saw the movies.
You had to watch everything streaming. Nomadland, very few people saw it. It's on Hulu. Minari, Sound of Metal, Mank, Promising Young Woman, The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Trial of the Chicago 7. If those movies had been in theaters in a normal way, I think they would be more known. One of the highest rated Oscar shows of all time is the one where Titanic won Best Picture.
Because everybody
saw it. Nobody saw Nomadland. I mean, it's a great, great movie. If you haven't seen it, it's a great movie. All these movies I love. Judas and the Black Messiah is fantastic. Anthony Hopkins. You know, that still sits weird with me that Anthony Hopkins beat Chadwick Boseman.
On a night where he wasn't there.
Yeah. Wasn't there to give a speech. They obviously had set it up for the Chadwick Boseman Oscar to be the last thing in the show because they did Best Actor last. Then they wound up with Anthony Hopkins, and there was no speech. Yeah, I thought, John, you would have hated these Oscars.
Because nobody got played off.
Nobody got played off the entire night. They just talked as long as they wanted to. So I understand why the ratings are low. I think if people had seen the movies, it would be a different story, but nobody's invested in any of these movies except really hardcore film junkies like me. All right, tell you what, coming up next for you, John, I promised this for Monday, yesterday, but we didn't get to it. A summary of the fight between Godzilla and Kong.
Oh, yeah!
It is a spoiler alert. Yes. It is a spoiler, but it's been out for a month now, so if you haven't seen it, you're probably not going to see it. That is coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Did I get rid of radio?
Yeah, why did you get rid of Radio Tinder? Are you getting rid of it tomorrow, too?
No, we'll do it. Lindsay, can we squeeze it in tomorrow?
Yeah, we got two hours tomorrow, right?
Yep.
2 hours. See? Yeah, we can squeeze it in. We'll do Fast Track, Radio Tinder, and Game of Games.
Excellent.
Big show tomorrow. So, John, we talked about this before the movie came out, Godzilla versus Kong. And,
all right, now, spoiler alert, for all you people out there, Mason's going to reveal who wins the fight at the end. So if you don't want to know, like, just turn the volume down and come back in, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, come back in 5 minutes. It's a spoiler alert. So, we both thought, Godzilla, there's no way he can lose to Kong, right?
Correct.
Okay. So here's how it goes. Godzilla and Kong, Kong is living at Skull Island. And Godzilla's just out swimming the ocean. So Godzilla and Kong wind up going to Hollow Earth. You got to buy this premise. The Earth is hollow.
Okay.
And there's some sort of energy source down there. So they want Kong to go down there along with Godzilla. They both get there, and Godzilla gets the knockout. Kong is left unconscious in the middle Earth. So it's Godzilla that gets the win.
Well, now, that's what we predicted.
When Godzilla gets back above ground, here's kind of the heartwarming part of it. When Godzilla gets back above ground, there's a new, bigger robot Godzilla attacking Earth. It's called Mecha Godzilla. And it's like twice the size of regular Godzilla. It's like a mechanical Godzilla.
Got it.
So Godzilla is getting his ass kicked by Mecha Godzilla. And who shows up rising from the hollow Earth to help Godzilla beat Mecha Godzilla? Kong, they team up to beat Mechagodzilla. So there you have it. There is your.
Cop out, isn't it?
What's that?
Isn't that a cop out? Didn't we want a clear winner between Godzilla?
Oh,
and
there's
Kong?
No question. Godzilla won. Godzilla knocked out Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Godzilla knocked out Kong, which is what we expected.
Spoilers.
Yeah, there's your spoiler alert. If you have not watched Godzilla vs. Kong by now, it's available on HBO Max, and it was in theaters and all that. If you haven't seen it by now, you're not interested.
Have you seen Mortal Kombat?
No, I haven't. Did you?
Yeah.
Is it good?
I heard it was terrible.
It is. It is.
It's terrible?
Spoiler.
Yeah, it
That's
is.
That's a spoiler alert. Mortal Kombat, terrible.
It's all over the place. It's all over the place.
Yeah. So not a strong recommendation for that. I actually thought Godzilla vs. Kong was fun. I thought it was good. Good, clean fun. So, John, this is something. I was at the Dodger game on Saturday night, and I had my Dodger dog like I normally do. And my nachos and my large Diet Coke. That's my official ball game menu.
It's important for you to get a Diet Coke when you're eating a giant plate of
nachos.
Yeah, giant nachos. And yeah, that's my style.
Diet's important, yeah.
And what I come to find out, now we know hot dogs at Dodger Stadium has always been Farmer John, and Vince Scully's famous for talking about it. Do you have that, Jorge?
Say, friends, you can't make it to the game, but you still want that one-of-a-kind Dodger Stadium experience? Well, all you need is Farmer John Dodger Dogs, available now at your local grocery store. One bite of that legendary hot dog, your couch becomes your own personal baseline seat. You'll practically be able to smell the grass. So pick up some Farmer John Dodger Dogs at your local grocery store today to get that Dodger Stadium experience. And remember, for big league hunger, all you need is Farmer John.
Farmer John's. Now, we heard that for years, John.
Yeah.
Vince Scully doing that exact read, talking about Farmer John. Because Farmer John's were the Dodger Ducks. They were
Farmer John's, singular, no S.
Dodger Ducks, yeah. So I come to find out, I eat my Dodger dog. Then on Monday, I open the LA Times, and I find out Smithfield Foods, which owns Farmer John, and the Dodgers did not renew the contract with the company to continue producing the extra-long hot dogs from Farmer John. They've been producing Dodger dogs. They were originally invented in 1962, and they've been doing it since 1972. Dodger dogs, Farmer John is no more. Now, don't we have a right to know where the Dodger dogs are coming from?
Am I the only one who thinks this is a complete non-story?
What do you mean?
Okay, when you go to In-N-Out.
Yes.
Do you know where the burgers come from?
Yeah, they come from the...
They come from In-N-Out.
From the In-N-Out, yeah.
Right, no, but do you know where they get the meat?
Well, it's beef.
I've been having hot dogs at baseball games forever.
Right, but beef is beef.
Lindsay's hot dogs that she had in Cleveland and the hot dogs I had in Anaheim taste just the same to me as the hot dogs at
Dodger dogs are better. Dodger dogs are just better.
Complete myth.
It's not a myth.
You couldn't tell.
It's almost unanimous amongst Dodger fans. Okay. Dodger dogs are the best.
You just said you didn't know until you read it in the LA Times.
Well, now I want an investigation. Stan Kasten on the phone. I want to know why they're not Farmer John dogs anymore.
Because they couldn't make a deal with them, so they get another hot dog company.
Making the dogs?
Some other hot dog company. So what?
I want to know. I want to know.
Yeah, this is a complete non-story.
Lindsay, don't. Well, Lindsay, you're.
I don't eat hot dogs. So, I don't really care. But if it's really important to you, Mace, then I think you definitely need to look into it, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to do some work. I'm going to talk to Stan Kasten, do some investigative reporting.
If I put a Farmer John Dodger dog down in front of you, right next to whatever they're selling now, there's no way you could tell the difference.
I would know the difference, John.
Maybe Farmer John was like, now that, our contract is up and Vin Scully has retired, then... We're done at Dodger Games.
Yeah, but they're missing out on a ton of business. A ton of business.
Yeah, but, they paid for that business.
What if this is a big hype? What if this is a big hype and they're saying we're done, but they
just want to buy more?
I'm still eating Farmer John hot dogs?
Here's a text I just received.
Okay.
Dodger dogs have been, for decades, the most overrated stadium concession in America. There is absolutely nothing special to it. It's a lousy, boiled stadium hot dog. From our friend Andrew Siciliano, he is 100% right.
Andrew!
Now, I will say this. if you go find a grilled Dodger dog, they're better than the boiled.
Of course, yeah. I always get the grilled Dodger dogs.
You do not. You have to.
I always get the grilled dogs. I would never eat a boiled Dodger dog. Dodger dogs are not meant to be boiled, John.
You've never bought a hot dog from a vendor?
No.
A guy walking down the aisle?
No, never. Never buy from a vendor. Never buy from a vendor. I always go to one of the place with the griddles. I want to see a griddle.
You have no idea what you're talking about. You couldn't tell the difference between a Farmer John dog and a Hoffy hot dog or an Oscar Mayer hot dog. They're all good.
This note from Greg Bergman, blasphemy. Dodger dogs were important to every Dodger game, and Farmer John is the one.
Yeah, Greg Bergman couldn't tell either. We should do that when we get back in studio. I'll bring in a Farmer John dog and an Oscar Mayer dog, and you guys won't be able to tell the difference.
I will kill it. I will absolutely nail that.
You absolutely will not.
I have a very.
This is a complete non-story.
I have a very sophisticated palate,
okay,
and I can tell the difference.
Hold on. What kind of hot dogs did you have in the hot dog eating contest?
Oh,
see, you don't even know. You don't.
We got those skinny,
exactly.
Those skinny Oscar Mayer ones.
No, you don't know that.
You don't even know.
No, you didn't. Didn't we have a sponsor for that?
Not a hot dog sponsor.
No, I don't think we have a hot dog sponsor.
Yeah, I think it was just regular.
But we agreed on it. A hot dog is a hot dog. I mean,
now at home it's always Hebrew National. Hebrew National at home is the best.
Well, you just said Dodger dogs are the best.
No, when I grill dogs at home, Hebrew Nationals are great.
You know, you could have bought Dodger dogs at the store. You elected not to. So there. What happens if they got Hebrew National to sell the hot dogs at Dodger Stadium?
Well, I would like it, but those are great big thick. Those aren't long dogs. Those are great big thick dogs.
You know, with this being California, how do they not have vegan hot dogs yet at Dodger Stadium?
They probably do.
I don't think they do. No, you don't think they have plant-based?
I've never seen them. I mean, I haven't really looked, but I've never seen them.
Chris Morales, Ireland will never live this segment down. Well, I could not agree more.
Could tell the difference between what hot dogs he's eating.
Your reckless attack on Farmer John will never be forgiven.
All he eats is bacon. What does he know about hot dogs?
You know what? I saw Morales, obviously golfing, on his Facebook page, and he does look thinner.
Yeah, because he's on this bacon diet. He doesn't know anything about hot dogs. And I'll put him – well, tell Chris he can be in the contest too. You, Bergman, Morales, I'll put a Hebrew National next to a Dodger dog, next to an Oscar Mayer dog. You won't know the difference.
Yeah, and by the way, plant-based hot dogs is something the world does not need, Linz. We do not need plant-based hot dogs.
I've had them before, and for people who don't eat meat, I think that they're a great idea. I think the world does need them because I would still like to eat a hot dog, but I don't want to eat meat. Yeah. I've had plant-based hot dogs. They're actually pretty good.
You're missing out. By the way, Chris Morales also mentioned Farmer John is a local company, John. You're bagging on a local company.
Wait a minute. Farmer
and
John,
on the institution of the Dodger dog itself.
Farmer John backed out of the deal. It's not like the Dodgers
had a gun to their head. They didn't reach
a deal. Yeah, their deal expired. Maybe the Dodgers got cheap with it. Maybe the Dodgers asked them for too much money.
Just because they're a local company doesn't it's not indentured servitude, Morales. They're not required to pay whatever the Dodgers are demanding.
I'll tell you what. Your bagging on Dodger dogs segment is going to go down in infamy, John. In infamy.
Well, you know where you can get a Dodger dog now?
Where?
They signed a deal with LAFC.
Oh, see?
There you go. So you got to go to LAFC
to get a Dodger dog?
There you go. You're all set.
If you haven't
makes
been
no
that,
sense.
That Bank of California Stadium, that is a beautiful stadium.
Exactly. Now you can have a Dodger dog
stadium.
There.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll call them Dodger dogs.
I wanted to mention one more time here because I think it's a really big deal. On Sunday, I got this email today. It seems last minute, but I got this email today. Maybe I missed some past ones. But Juan and I are going to be at SoFi Stadium on Sunday for the Global Citizen Vax Life Concert, which means we'll actually be in a crowd. You have to present proof of vaccination in order to get in. It is only for vaccinated people. It's hosted by Selena Gomez. It features J-Lo, Eddie Vedder, Foo Fighters, her, and then the people that are going to be there. John, you'll be excited. Harry and Meghan are going to be there.
Really?
Maybe Meghan will talk more stuff about the royal family. Ben Affleck, Chrissy Teigen, David Letterman, Gail King, Jimmy Kimmel, Olivia Munn, Sean Penn, on and on. So excited to be for the first time in SoFi Stadium for an actual event.
There is one of those names you read. No way that person shows up.
Are you going to say Letterman?
Yep. No way a Letterman shows up at this.
I think Letterman's coming in for this. He's bringing that big beard.
I'll be anxious.
The president's going
to
be there too, Mace.
Well, I don't know. He's going to be probably on a video screen.
No, it says he will make appearances.
Well, that could be on video.
It could be on video. Yeah, I doubt Joe Biden's coming out to the concert at SoFi Stadium. He's got really big stuff on his plate. From what I understand, I don't know. I don't follow that stuff. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Oh, can you feel it, John? Can you feel the ratings right now? So many ratings.
Just zooming up the charts.
Radio Tinder, yeah. Linz, what do you got for us?
Well, first I want to take this ratings opportunity to say that people tweeting at me saying the world does not need vegan or veggie hot dogs.
Yes, I agree.
They're stupid because there's no real meat in hot dogs anyway. Let's be serious.
There you go. Lindsay just called all of you stupid.
That's a spoiler alert.
All right, so spoiler alert. The Cleveland Cavaliers,
Cleveland alert,
are addressing the Kevin Love incident internally as the forward apologized to his team after Monday night's loss to the Raptors. Love could be fined by the Cavaliers for swatting the basketball inadvertently inbounds out of frustration towards an official, resulting in a turnover and leading to a three-pointer by the Raptors. So what happened was after a converted layup by the Raptors, Love was shoved in the back and ran into the stanchion. Is that what
stanchion.
That thing's called?
Stanchion.
Stanchion.
Sure.
The ref tossed the ball to Love so he can inbound it, and he was super irritated, and he spiked the ball with his left hand, like swatted it down, like, get out of here. Apparently, Love's intent was not to slap the ball inbounds. He was just frustrated with officials and not his team's performance.
Okay.
Should Kevin Love be fined for pouting? Swipe left or swipe right?
Mace, have you seen this play?
I have not seen this play.
I've never seen anything like this.
I'm going to send it to you right now.
This is the most unprofessional play by an NBA player I think I've ever seen. And
wow.
I love Kevin Love. Love's been on the show. He's a UCLA guy. He is as nice. You know, he's spoken out on several mental health issues. He does, you know, charity work. He just had a brain cramp. You absolutely cannot do nothing here. It is, I mean, it is as, it's basically.
I just sent it to you guys.
Handing the ball to the other team and giving them a basket in the middle of an NBA game. I would either fine or suspend him for a game. Lindsay, what would you do? You know Kevin Love. Why? I mean, it's out of character for him, but you can't do nothing.
I think ever since the extension and then Kyrie leaving, LeBron leaving, obviously, Dan Gilbert's big move was to sign Kevin Love to an extension because that was like his only hope of keeping pieces from the 2016 championship team around.
Right.
It has not gone well. Kevin Love's barely played. He's always injured or taking time off. And then when he did start, like, he's barely played this year. I think it was like, I don't know, maybe his second week back playing. And I just feel like he's kind of lost his luster. I think it might be best for everybody at this point to just kind of move on from the whole Kevin Love thing and just get him out of here when the season's over, like, he's done with them. That's what I would do.
I think in the immediate, I think you gotta if you don't want to fine him, you gotta sit him for a game.
Yeah, you gotta bench him.
Yeah, right? I don't think you can fine him or suspend him, but you could certainly sit him. Here's the thing about Kevin Love is, you know, he's in one of the worst organizations on one of the worst teams. They're what, 20-41 or something like that. They're awful, and I think everybody sort of sleepwalks through games like that, especially when you're a really talented player like Kevin Love. You're on this terrible team. You're kind of
banished
to Cleveland.
He's not that good. He's overrated.
Kevin Love has had some really good years. In a different place, Kevin Love would be a much better player. Do you agree with that, John?
Yeah, I do. And I think that he, like Lindsay pointed out, he's probably expected to be the best player on the Cavs. He's not Darius Garland or Colin Sexton would be, but Love's the highest paid player on the Cavs. He'd be much better as, like, the fourth or fifth best player on a playoff team. And Lindsay's right. They should move him. But
he
to answer her,
double,
answer
double
her
the
original
last...
question, they cannot just accept his apology and do nothing. That was as Bush League of a play as I've ever seen.
And and on top of that, think about, okay, when Kevin Porter Jr. had that outburst and went off at Kobe Altman because they moved his locker, they got rid of him. They shipped him off. They traded him. And I'm pretty sure there's another incident. I'm blanking out. I can't think. With a player where something similar happened and they benched him, fined him, something happened. So I feel like it just sets a really bad precedent to the rest of the team, which most of the other guys on the team are really, really young. So I think that with those impressionable players, they need to do something because they can't be like, oh, this is okay because it's Kevin Love and he makes a lot of money. If anything, they should be setting an example by punishing him somehow.
Well, he makes he's making $31 million this year, and he'll make $29 million next year. It's going to be impossible for Cleveland to move that contract, but he did average a double-double the last 3 years before this year, which is clearly a down year. And to say the least, he's disengaged. But I don't know what the future is for him unless they work out a buyout next year. I think he's probably stuck, and Cleveland stuck with him.
Probably the most overpaid player in the NBA. Would you agree with that, John?
Well, I think he earned it when he won the title. But at this point, he's not. It's not a useful player to have on the Cavs. I would agree with that.
No, he's not. All right. Next one here. Earlier this month, scientists announced that they'd successfully created part human, part monkey hybrids by injecting human stem cells into six-day-old embryos.
What? Yeah.
Yes, exactly, Michael. The experiment was shockingly successful compared to past attempts to create hybrids, also called chimeras. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Mm-hmm. Engineering chimeras could allow for new medical developments like growing human organs that are viable for transplants in other mm-hmm. species. But bioethicists have concerns about moving ahead with this sort of research before figuring out what it means in the real world and in ethical terms. Do you think that creating human-animal hybrids is a good idea? Swipe left or swipe right?
Hell no. Swipe left. Why do we want a human-animal hybrid? Oh. What in the world? Didn't you guys see Predator?
This is like Planet of the Apes.
Exactly.
This yeah, monkey could is. Grow up to be super smart and take over the world.
Exactly.
But, John, you are afraid of science. You are afraid
science?
Of the future. You are, John, you are afraid of the future, aren't you?
Well, I do not want an animal-human hybrid, if that's what you're asking.
Even if it's successful in, like, growing human organs that could be transplanted.
Well, if that's it, yeah. But if it's a living human walking and talking being, yeah. I'm out.
I mean, if they're going to do it just to harvest the organs, that's also a whole other ethical, you know?
Why? It's just, if you're saving lives?
Why?
I just think that once you go down that road, there's no going back. That's all I'm saying. So I think maybe it's better
if they're
just
harvesting organs and they're not producing living, you know, talking, breathing beings, I'm okay with it.
Well, my point is, it sounds like from what the research is saying that's what the issue is. They're trying to decide whether or not that's possible. Because if you think about it, if you're making an embryo and it's going to grow into something and you need its organs, then eventually someone somewhere is going to be like, oh, let's just see what happens when we actually let this thing be born.
But why do we need this?
We don't. We don't need it. Okay. We don't. That's what I'm
Hell
saying.
Hell no.
Yeah, I say yes. If you can save John, it's about saving lives. If you have to make monkey
Hell
men
no.
to save lives, make monkey men.
Nope.
But
sorry.
Wait.
That's what I called, by the way. That's the official name for
I don't want no monkey
men.
Organ. If it's my time to go, I'm gone. See ya.
If they're saving Check. Lives at the cost of humanity completely erupting.
Yes.
It's like the downfall
cause,
of civilization.
At the cost of humanity completely erupting.
Nothing wrong with a monkey man. They're smart. They're conversational.
Oh, please. They
are monkeys.
It is Planet of the Apes.
It is Planet of the Apes.
What's next?
You got one
more? All right, last one here. Walmart has complained that Kanye West's new Yeezy LLC logo looks too much like its own Spark logo.
For show.
I tweeted out a picture of it. If you guys want to check on my Twitter account at Lindsay Baseball. The rapper's company filed a trademark application for its new logo, which is made up of 8 dotted lines arranged as rays from a sun. Last week, Walmart filed a notice of opposition with the trademark trial and appeal board, saying Yeezy's logo is way too similar to their own trademarked logo. Does Walmart have a case here? Check it out and swipe left or swipe right.
I'm looking at it now, Lindsay, and I don't think these are so similar that I would confuse the two. One is like dots, basically ampersands, and the other one is solid block lines. I don't think they have a case. Mason,
I am looking at it too, and I completely agree with you, Lindsay. Big companies, though, defend their trademarks like crazy. Like crazy. So I'm not surprised that Walmart is going after them, but I don't think there's a case here. I think they're different enough that you cannot make a case out of it.
You know, I think that the new Yeezy Kanye logo looks more like the clear logo than the Walmart one.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of when I
That's
saw
the,
it.
That's the Kanye logo on the left?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, for sure.
Faux show.
For show.
For show.
Oh, now we got Ireland saying it, too. That's a good one. For shizzle, dizzle.
All right, there's your radio tinder for today. Coming up next for you, John, the Dodgers have lost 6 out of 8.
What?
Never thought that this Dodger team could lose 6 out of 8, but I think you can pinpoint exactly why. Let's talk about that coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.